Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called Following Your Heart.
Would you like to have more energy in life, more enthusiasm, more get up and go? Let me tell you where to get it. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek words en, theos, en meaning within, and theos meaning God. Theos is the Greek word for God. Theology is the study of God. Theodore and Dorothy mean lover of God in Greek. That's what the word Dorothy and Theodore mean. It means lover of God. When you get in theos, when you get in God, you're going to be enthusiastic. And the closer you get to God, the more energy, the more vitality, the more passion you have in life. And the further away you get him, the more bored and apathetic you become with life. You got to open your heart to Jesus. Now notice what he says here, Revelation 3. Jesus says, I am standing and knocking at your door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll eat together. We'll party together. We'll have fun together. We'll fellowship together. We'll build a relationship. I don't want a religion. God says, I want a relationship with you. Jesus Christ has been standing at the door of your life knocking for a long time. But he's the gentleman. He's not going to bust the door down. You got to open it up. And if you want your heart healed, you must first open it to him. Open your heart to Jesus Christ. Now, after you've opened it, what's the second thing you do? Let him heal it. Let God heal your heart. Now, everybody here has had their heart broken in some way, from some point, maybe by disappointment, maybe by fear, maybe by shame or guilt, maybe by hurt or rejection or ridicule. And I would say to you, as your friend, I'm sorry. I really am. And I care about the hurt that you have gone through as your pastor. I care about it. I do. Because God cares about it. And he's hurt with you. What was God doing when you were weeping? He was weeping too. In fact, it is in your pain that God is closest to you, whether you realize it or not. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 34. The Lord is close, not distant. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. How does he do that? How does he save us? He saves us by giving us a heart transplant. He says, you know, this heart you've had, it's been beat up, it's been wounded. I'll give you a new one. He specializes in heart transplants. And he says, you know, that heart that's been guilty, I'll give you a heart that's forgiven. That heart that's been resentful, I'll give you a heart that's full of peace. That heart that's anxious, I'll give you a heart that's confident. That heart that's lonely, I'll give you a heart full of love. That heart that has been bitter and angry, I'll give you a heart that is forgiving and loving and generous and kind. And he says, let me do a little heart transplant in you. And he says, I will set you free. Why do we need freedom? Because we're all enslaved. We're slaves to the expectations of other people. What would they think? We're slaves to past memories. We're slaves to future fears. We're slaves to current pressure. We're slaves to the opinions of society, on and on and on. But when Jesus Christ, you open your heart to him and say, I give you not 98% of my heart, 100% of my heart, God, it's yours. And I ask you to heal it. Then you'll say like David said in the Bible, Psalm 119, I run in the path of your commands. In other words, he's saying, I'm doing what you want me to do, God. I do what you say it, I do it. I run in the path of your commands for you have set my heart free. Pastor Eric Reese, a couple weeks ago, I had him come and share part of the message. He alluded a little bit to his past. I want you to understand where Eric came from and see how God shaped and changed his heart. Would you listen to him and give him a warm welcome? Pastor Eric.
Good morning. I'd like to share with you how Jesus has healed the hurt in my heart so I can start becoming who God made me to be. The scars of disappointment, fear, guilt, resentment, and rejection started forming very early in my life. From the outside looking in, my family seemed very ordinary, but behind closed doors, there was a lot of anger, conflict, abuse, and hurt. When I was 8 years old, my parents got divorced. I still remember the fear I felt the night my mom left my dad. My brother and I hid under a car in our driveway as we watched my father beating my mother to the point of tears. After mom left, my brother and I lived with my dad because my mom couldn't support us on her salary. But much of the time, dad ignored us. My brother and I took care of each other. We got each other up for school, made our lunches, and went to school together. After school, we'd come home to a pretty empty, lonely home. We were latchkey kids before the term was even invented. Growing up in a home completely without love caused me to look for acceptance in all kinds of ways to ease my pain. By the time I was 12, I had already experimented with lots of drugs, watched a lot of pornographic movies, and weighed over 250 pounds. The kids at school made fun of me and called me Oompa Loompa and Little Porker. Since I never received comfort at home, I can remember eating donuts for breakfast, candy for lunch, TV dinners for dinner, and a lot of ice cream for dessert. I had few friends growing up, so I was pretty lonely. And since I never got any positive feedback, I conditioned myself to accept negative criticism from the kids at school as my primary source of attention. I guess being overweight at least got me noticed. At home, physical and mental abuse from my dad was a normal part of growing up. I deeply wanted my dad's love and approval, but he seemed unable and unwilling to give it. Not once did I ever hear him express his love for me. Instead, almost every time my father came home from work, he would start drinking and start yelling. I was even the one that actually mixed his drinks for him every night. Afterwards, I was forced to sit in a certain chair and listen to him tell me that I would never succeed in life, never be able to read, write, or do arithmetic. In order to prove my worth to my dad, I learned to cheat in school so my grades would be acceptable to him. I learned to steal from my friends so they would accept me, and I also learned to lie so my father would not hit me for the things he disliked about me. One time I lied about putting my fingers in some Jell-O salad before dinner. My dad knew I was lying, so he decided to shock me into admitting it. He cut the ends off in an electrical extension cord so the wires were bare. Then he plugged the other end of the cord into the wall outlet. When I saw that, I was in sheer terror. I pleaded to my dad, but he had no sympathy. Right before the wires touched my skin, I admitted to putting my fingers in the Jell-O salad. The physical pain of being whipped with belts and ropes caused welts and bruises, but those welts and bruises healed pretty quickly. It was the emotional rejection I felt that caused the most pain. At the age of 16, I decided to move out and get away from the abuse. Instead of being worried or upset, my dad even helped me pack my bags. I moved in with some friends from school. That was the day I was given hope again. My friends' parents gave me encouragement, trust, love, and respect. They said that I was valuable and capable, and no matter what had happened in my life, I could keep my chin up and start following the heart that God had given me. Up to that point, I had never thought about dreaming into the future. I was only concerned about making it through the day. Proving my dad wrong, I graduated from both high school and college. And during my junior year in college, I started dating a beautiful young lady named Stacy, who is now my wife. Stacy grew up in a wonderful Christian home, and she was able to show God's healing grace and share God's message of unconditional love with me. She believed in me, my value, and my abilities. If it was not for her, I would not be standing in front of you today. Her love helped me start believing in myself. We started attending church together with her wonderful parents. It was at that time God started healing my wounded and broken heart. Since my deepest hurt has been with my relationship with my father, I think it's kind of amazing that it was on Father's Day, 1993, that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and said, "Father, I want to come home." The following month, I was baptized to publicly demonstrate my faith. Now every Father's Day, I'm reminded that my loving Heavenly Father heals broken hearts and sets our hearts free to become who we were meant to be. God's word tells me that in Jesus, I am accepted, valued, loved, and forgiven. He even calls me his masterpiece. Although there are days I don't feel like one, God says I am. This is such great news that I've dedicated the rest of my life to helping people accept Christ and discover their unique God-given shape. Today, I'm humbled by the privilege of helping thousands of people rediscover their heart and the dreams that God has put inside of them so they too can make the difference they were designed to make and start living the life they were meant to live. I want everyone to experience the feeling of one of my favorite verses, which is Philippians 4:13, which says, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need." In closing, I want to say that God can change and heal even the most broken of hearts. For example, a few years ago, I received a check in the mail for my oldest daughter's college fund. The check was from my dad. I had prayed for my dad since I committed my life to Christ, but I had not talked to him very much. So the idea of receiving money from him was completely unexpected. When I called my dad to thank him for the gift, he ended the conversation by saying, "Son, one last thing, I love you." That, folks, was a miracle. It was the first time I remember my dad ever telling me he loved me. With joy, I answered, "I love you too, Dad." Only the healing grace of Jesus Christ can change hearts like that. 2 months ago, my dad lost his battle to lung cancer. In some ways, his condition brought us closer together. I really think God used me to heal a part of my dad's heart. Before he died, he said, "Son, I believe in you. I just wish you would have believed in Jesus." Finally, I'd like to say to those who have felt the pain of rejection from anyone, I urge you to open your heart to Jesus today. Then let him come in and heal your heart so you can become who you were meant to be and do what you were meant to do. Please stop listening to those old voices from your past and start listening to the truth of what God says about you, because the truth will set you free. And the truth is, God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. God bless you and thank you.
When Eric was that little boy being abused and being ignored, I'm sure he had no idea that one day he'd stand in front of 20,000 people talking about how God had used, brought good out of bad, had written a book to help people discover what God made them to be. And you have no idea what God wants to do with your life. Stop limiting God. Just stop it. Stop limiting God in your life. You have no idea what he wants to do in your life. If you're going to follow your heart, which God wants you to do, because he put it in you, first, you open it to him. Second, you let him heal it. And third, you listen to it. You need to listen to your heart. Now, you know what the problem is on this? You're going so fast, you don't have time to listen to your heart anymore. You're in so much of a hurry. You're so busy. You're so on the move, you can't even hear your heart anymore. And you need to slow down. The Bible says that God wants you to listen to your heart. And he wants you to look at what you're made to do, and then you'll know what he wants you to do. But you got to slow down. Alabama used to sing this song, "I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Don't know why I have to drive so fast. My cars have nothing to prove. It's not new, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. Can't be late. I leave in plenty of time shaking hands with the clock. I can't stop. I'm on a roll and I'm ready to rock. I hear a voice that says I'm running behind. I better pick up my pace. It's a race. And there ain't no room for second place. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why." That describes most people today in America. They're speedy with no direction. God says, I want you to listen to your heart. Romans 12:3, be honest in your estimate of yourselves. You ask these questions that I wrote there on your outline. What do I love to do? What do I dream of doing? What fascinates me? In other words, I can talk about it or think about it or study it. I don't get bored. It just doesn't bore me. I'm fascinated by this. Where have I been most effective in my life? These are the questions you want to ask yourself in listening to your heart. You know, last week, we baptized an 80-year-old woman out here after the service. We baptized after every service. She wanted to be a small group host. That's pretty cool, an 80-year-old small group host. And she said, you know, I just wish I'd learned years ago that we serve God out of our design, not out of duty. I wish everybody could learn that truth. That's what the Shape series is all about. We serve God out of our design, the way He wired us, shaped us. Our gifts, our heart, our abilities, personality, experiences. We save God out of our design. We serve Him that way, not out of duty. I don't serve God out of duty, never have. I'm not forced to do this. I do it because I love God, because He designed me, because when I do what He wired me to do, I'm good at it, and it feels good, and it brings glory to Him. That's the way to live. I don't serve God out of force or design or guilt. I serve Him out of delight and out of gratitude. The Bible says this up on the screen: make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. In other words, what He put you on earth to do. Then sink yourself into that, but don't compare yourself with others. Why? Because they're shaped differently. Number four, open your heart, let God heal your heart, listen to your heart. Number four, look at my options. Find out all you can about what might interest you. And you don't just go out there and say, well, I think I love to do this, and you just go jump into the pool. No, you think about it, you study it, you do your due diligence. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 2, desire, that's your heart, your ambitions, your goals, your love. Desire without knowledge is not good. In other words, educated enthusiasm, uneducated enthusiasm. Desire without knowledge is not good. And to be over hasty is to sin and miss the mark. He's saying, don't bet the farm without checking it out first. Don't be reckless. Don't be irresponsible. Don't be careless. Do your due diligence before diving in. Just because you love to do it doesn't mean that you're gifted to do it. We talked about that before. Or some of these other areas. You have the experience. You need to check it out first. In other words, let's say you say, well, I love Mexican food, so I'm going to go start a Mexican restaurant. Any former restaurant owners want to give a testimony? That's very tough work. You know, it's like saying, well, I love donuts. I think I'll go start a donut shop. 95% of all business startups fail within 5 years. That's a U.S. labor statistic. Why? Because they have desire without knowledge. By the way, let me just give you a little advice. A lot of the things that you think you'd love to do for the rest of your life, if you did them, you'd be bored within a month. They sound good. They sound sexy. Like, man, I'd like to go run a Tahiti resort. Yeah, for about 2 weeks until you realize what's behind running a Tahiti resort. And a lot of things sound like, well, I'd really like to go out and jump out and do that. And, you know, I think, you know, I like playing guitar. Therefore, I think I'll just go out and become a rock star. Little prudence, little good sense, little forethought, save some pain. Okay? In other words, he's saying here, check it out. No, I did all of these things before I started Saddleback Church. In 1979, God had put in my heart a love, a desire, a passion to start a church and to build a church that would be a model of what church is really meant to be and to build a healthy, large model for our nation. Well, what did I do? I didn't just go off and do it. First, I read everything I could. I read every book in print on church. On the church. 72 books that I could find. 72 books. Read them in 79. I wrote to the personally to the 100 largest churches in the United States and asked a series of questions. I actually wrote a letter to every pastor of the churches that were already existing in the Saddleback Valley. Asked them a series of questions. I went and studied other churches. I put myself under mentors. I listened. I learned. I studied the areas of Seattle and San Francisco and San Diego and Orange County and all this so that when I came here to start it in January of 1980, I didn't just have a desire. I knew what I was doing. Now, I didn't have any money, no members, no building, no support, but I knew what I was doing. And so you start by looking at all the options. So how do you start going after your heart? Well, I would say first talk to people who are already successful in what you'd like to do. Just go find somebody who's already successful in something you think, I've got a heart for this, and talk to them. By the way, when you meet people who have the same heart as you, have you noticed you like them instantly? Because they got the same interest you do. And you sit down, you talk with them, and you go, wow, you like that too? And there's this heart-to-heart connection. Read widely, study, maybe take a trip, go find take a course. If you're young enough, maybe you can be an intern somewhere. I would bounce your ideas off your small group. That's one of the reasons we have small groups. The Bible says we need the wisdom of other people. And one of the problems today is people make decisions in a vacuum and don't even think about inviting other people into their life. Go to your small group, and when we're talking about shape, you know, I'm thinking about this. I've always wanted to do this. I've always had a love for this. And what do you think about it? Do you have any advice? Would you pray for me? Do you know anybody to put me in contact? Do you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that you could put me in contact with? Use your small group. The Bible says that as believers, we are to encourage each other in our lives. Look at the next verse. You should meet together and encourage each other. That's the value of a small group. And then experiment. That's the biggest thing of all. Just volunteer. Get involved in something. You know, one of the things, one of the reasons why I believe in all the ministries here at Saddleback is they're often a launching ground for full-time careers. People have started in ministry here volunteering in an area, but then they found out, man, I really like doing this, and it gave them an idea on what to do as a career. Okay, number five, last thing. If you're going to follow your heart, launch out in faith. Launch out in faith. You expect God to bless what you're doing. Why wouldn't God bless you if you're doing what he created you to do? If he put it in your heart to do it, and you go do it, obviously he's going to bless it. But I want to tell you this. Look up here. There's going to be a fear factor if you start following your heart. I guarantee it. Because there are people in your life who don't want you to follow your heart. They want you to, it scares them. And there will be people who will not want you to follow your heart. And so you have, there's going to be a fear factor. It's like on a trapeze. You swing out on one bar, and before you can grab the other, you got to let go of this one. And you swing out a little over air, and then you grab that one. And from the time you let go of this bar and grab this one, there's a split second where you're hanging in the air 300 feet up in total faith. And nothing's holding you up except God. I have been doing this my entire life. Swinging out, letting go one, and grabbing onto the other. And swinging out and letting go one, grabbing. I've been doing it my entire life. You don't know God's all you need till God's all you've got. There will be a test of your faith. It will be a test. If you're going to follow your heart, there will be some barrier or opposition to test your faith. But let me say this. God has given you the most amazing promise. Next to the last verse. Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? It means put God first. It means saying, God, you're number one. I want to do what you want me to do. Not what I want to do. Not what my parents wanted me to do. I want to do what you wanted me to do with your life. Delight yourself in the Lord. You're number one. And he will give you, here's the promise. Read it with me. The desires of your heart. Wow. What a promise. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when you start living your heart, you start following your heart, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to stop worrying about status, and you're going to start enjoying significance. Status won't even be important to you anymore, because you've got significance, which is far more important than status. And when you start living following your heart, you're going to stop competing for position. Am I climbing the ladder? And you're going to start enjoying more pleasure because you're being what God made you to be. And when you start living and following your heart, you're going to stop obsessing over money, which isn't really that important. And you're going to start obtaining meaning. Meaning trumps money every day of the week. And you'll come to the point in your life where you realize that purpose trumps prosperity every day of the week. It's always more fulfilling to have something to live for than to have a whole lot to live on. And I could give you a million examples of that. And when you be what God made you to be, stress goes down and satisfaction goes up. And you'll be able to say, like David said, you know, I don't really care about all those people who've got all those things, all those possessions and prosperity, just because I've got joy. Last verse, he says, you, Lord, have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and wine. In other words, the fat cats. Let's bow our heads. Which of these heart stoppers have been stopping you from following your heart? Disappointment, fear or guilt, resentment, hurt, ridicule. Jesus Christ wants to unclog your heart today. In John 10:10, he said, I came to give you real life, life in all its fullness, a life better than you ever dreamed of. Would you pray this prayer? Dear Jesus Christ, I open up my heart 100% to you today. You made it. You know what's in it. You know all about it. And I open it to you. You've been knocking at the door. And today I invite you to come into my heart. I ask you, dear God, to heal my heart where it's been bruised and broken, batted around. Would you heal the scars of disappointment and fear and guilt and rejection and bitterness? I'm asking you to give me a new heart today. Help me to listen to my heart, to discover what you made me to love and to be interested in, and the dream that you gave me in my heart. Help me to look at all the options. But once I know it, help me to launch out in faith and to trust you. Today, I say, my heart is yours. I have been shaped to serve you. And I want to do that the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I was sure inspired today by Pastor Rick and that message. And I want to say that Rick and I are so appreciative that you took time out of your day to listen to this show. We love you guys, and we pray for you every day. And if you just prayed that prayer of salvation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, congratulations. We sure hope you'll let us know about it by emailing rick@pastorrick.com. We want to pray for you, and we want to send you some resources to help you with your new relationship with God. And now, one of my favorite parts of Daily Hope, today we're going to end with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share a letter from John, who says he's been reading the Daily Hope devotionals for 10 years. Wow, great, John. John says he uses these written devotionals every morning to start his daily prayer and Bible reading, and he writes this. Pastor Rick, I started receiving your Daily Hope devotionals about 10 years ago. Not only did they bless my life and help me with my daily walk, I would save them and send them to my friends when issues or questions would come up. So I look forward every morning to reading these devotionals, which typically start my daily prayer and Bible reading. You know, I recently got my boss signed up for Daily Hope devotionals, and it hit me how powerful they really are. You know, my wife and I decided to support Daily Hope over and above our tithe to our church to help you bring one more to Jesus. Well, John, your message is so special to me. You have really blessed me with this letter because I'm glad for three reasons. First, that you have grown as a Christian through Daily Hope. Second, I'm glad that you're using the Daily Hope to help you study God's Word on a personal basis. And third, I want to thank you for caring enough to help other people that you have given generously of your funds and gifts to help us stay on the air and to allow us to actually even expand into other stations to take the good news of hope to places where it is desperately needed. So, John, thank you, thank you, thank you.
We sure hope you've been encouraged by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And if you have, would you consider supporting us? Just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. And this program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.